The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Now that the dust has settled on what happened in New York, it was a day of rest for Bernie Sanders, who went back to Vermont. Ted Cruz scoffed at Trump and said he intends to go all the way to the convention. So it's pretty darn interesting that now it's just more of the same of amassing those delegates. But certainly you'd have to think Clinton is on track to capture the Democratic nomination, and Trump is, as we've already talked about. Until the final gavel smacks down and someone is nominated, however, you can't convince me that something crazy might not happen. With us in our virtual green room is Bob Ney, the former congressman from Ohio, now with Talk Media News, of course. Bob, it was a day for, I think, Bernie Sanders to go and just take five after a lot of huge rallies, because, boy, something like almost 30,000 people showed up at Prospect Park last weekend, which is amazing. He really gets these big crowds, and I think it was just a day to kind of retool, right?
Oh, that's right. You know, it was amazing to watch, Kate, and of course you and I talked yesterday. It was amazing to watch all the pundits say, you know, is he returning? He abandoned the press corps. He was going home maybe to reflect, to get out of the race. And as we said on your show at, you know, at past midnight yesterday, he's not going anywhere. He's not going to drop out of this race. So I watched with amazement. Of course, he himself announced he's continuing on to the convention. And Cruz, of course, why would he drop out of the race, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Hey, here's a question for you. So usually, and you know how politics go, when you were running, you try to amass some key endorsements.
Right.
Very few politicians have endorsed Donald Trump. Not too many. Because why is that? They're hoping, are they part of the old guard of the establishment? Hey, look, maybe it's not going to be him. I'm not going to throw myself into the lion's den.
I think they're afraid. You know, a lot of people are afraid what's going to happen. They never know what's going to come out of Donald Trump next, and they fear that. You know, I used to love endorsements. When you don't get them, of course, you say the endorsement I want is of the people's vote. Everybody does that. But if you can get an endorsement, you know, obviously you want it. But I think a lot of people are going to hedge on this one. They're just going to do it. And look, if somebody's in a marginal seat on the Democratic side and Hillary Clinton is running and they're in a marginal seat where it's up for grabs, they may not, you know, they may not go against her, but they might be, quote, out of town when she comes to their area. You know, people dodge these things all the time.
So if we bounce back to Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders taking the day off, so to speak, not really, but sort of in Vermont, now the conversation or the whispers or whatever is about if he doesn't dump out and he stays in his, how much does this hurt Hillary Clinton? Could he be a Ralph Nader in the end?
Well, you know, I look at this in a little bit different way. I don't think it's going to hurt her. Now, look, like anybody, Hillary Clinton would love to have no one running against her. You never want a primary. When people say, oh, a primary warms you up, no, a primary doesn't warm you up necessarily. You know, it gives a problem, because then in the general election they say, well, Bernie Sanders, the Democrat, look what he said. It's not just Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, you know, whoever saying this. Look, Bernie Sanders said it. So that's always a problem. Of course, you work around that. But I think, though, for Hillary Clinton, it's a little bit different. I don't think it really, you know, hurts her really bad what Bernie Sanders is doing. I think what will hurt her more is if, in fact, she doesn't come to terms with Bernie Sanders' supporters. And if she's the nominee, she has to make really sure that they understand that she appreciates them and that she will follow a progressive path, not just giving them lip service. I think that hurts her more in the long run.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. All right, this trip to the Middle East with the Prez, now with these 28 pages that the fight is over whether they're going to be unclassified from the 9/11 Commission report, the timing is interesting, and the Saudis didn't invite the president. He decided he would go. What do you think that's all about?
Well, this whole thing's coming to a collision. Look, today the Supreme Court said that Iran had to pay for victims of terror. That's amazing. They're going to have to pay for it. The question, these are multiple problems. They're going to have to go back and look at the 28 pages. Do they want to release that? If there is Saudi culpability, and I just watched Ari Fleischer from the previous Bush administration tonight saying, oh, you know, everything's okay, there's really nothing in there. Well, come on, Ari. You know, you're the weapons of mass destruction guy. I mean, who believes the credibility of Bush administration signing off on those 28 pages? So I think they ought to be released personally. The country should know what members of Congress know that's in there and should be pursued. And, you know, and former members like myself are saying it should be released, and many of them are. But on top of it, you've got a piece of legislation by Lindsey Graham and Chuck Schumer and others, a bipartisan, that says, hey, if Saudi Arabia has culpability, they should pay, just like Iran did today. Now, Saudi Arabia is freaking over this. They're threatening to pull $1 trillion out of our country. Meanwhile, the president goes there. Saudi Arabia is treated with kid gloves. President Obama sat down today and reassured King Salman, right? Okay?
Right.
Well, King Salman, I don't know, anybody's not saying this, and I have family members that have suffered through dementia, but they're not king of Saudi Arabia. King Salman doesn't sometimes know what room he's in. Yeah. He has severe dementia. And, you know, nobody's talking about this. I mean, who is President Obama dealing with today?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Who knows?
It's a bizarre kingdom that even goes to the point where its king was hospitalized in intensive care with dementia, yet they pretend that, you know, he's in charge of the throne. And there's back maneuvering. I mean, Saudi Arabia is a tough kingdom. I think we're afraid of the oil money. They said that President Obama was slighted today. I really don't think as much. You know, he doesn't go greet people when they land at Andrews Air Force Base, so I kind of dismiss that part of it. But the president's trying to do something, yet the Saudis are very upset with us because we've, you know, dared to talk with Iran. So I'm not so sure how productive his trip will be, and I think it was a bold move, the fact he even went.
But it's definitely a bold move. There's no question on that. Do you think the 28 pages will be unclassified, and what do you think is really, really in those 28 pages? Are the Saudis implicated?
Well, let me just say this about the 28 pages, because nobody wants to say, you know, since it's classified and you take oaths and things, what's exactly in there. But I think what we can safely say is that there are allegations in there that the Saudis, through embassies, in fact, may have had monetary dealings or absolute support of some of the 19 Saudis that flew that plane. You know, like anything, 19 Saudis, if 19 Iranians flew a plane into our buildings, we would allow for the Iran government automatically to be sued. 19 Saudis flew planes into buildings and George Bush invaded Iraq. So,
yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot behind the scenes of those 28 pages. I think I can safely say if they are dug into versus dismissed, really dug into, I think there's some fingers out there that are going to be maybe not saying you go fly these planes, but did some types of support of these people that flew the planes. And I think that needs to be settled once and for all.
Yeah, I agree with you absolutely. Bob Ney, thank you as always so much.
Okay, thank you.
Coming up on the flip side, the Treasury replaces Jackson. Oh, my. Alexander Hamilton, though, stays on the 10. What does it all mean, and who is the new face? We got to cover next on ATN.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all, but seventh, eighth, and ninth day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, boy, they have a big presence there. I was in Cleveland last week, and I had a chance to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, whip through it, and they had all kinds of stuff there. I mean, they had guitars, they had outfits, they had, you name it, and it was there, and if you look at when they were inducted. Pete Townsend actually inducted, this is a quick side note because of their song being played and our comeback there. But Pete Townsend inducted the Rolling Stones at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1989, so quite some time ago. The Hall of Fame is such an interesting collection of rockers, jazz musicians, blues artists, you name it, pop singers. And anyway, just as a quick little side note there, put that on your bucket list if you are a huge fan of music. Big story today. Finally, some decisions made on our money, but it's not going to affect us, or it's not going to change, really, until 2020. But the Treasury Secretary, Jack Lew, announced that abolitionist member of the Underground Railroad, Harriet Tubman, is going to replace Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill. Last June, the Treasury Department announced the 10 would be redesigned to feature the face of a woman. And so how isn't that interesting? So they were asking for suggestions, and they got all kinds of suggestions, you know, from Eleanor Roosevelt to a ton of other women, and Harriet Tubman certainly was one of them. So what's happened is they decided to replace Jackson, and instead Hamilton stays right where he is. So Andrew Jackson was relocated by the federal government, but Harriet Tubman is on the $20 bill. Somebody said to me, so now that a woman's going to be on the $20 bill, does it mean it's worth less? And they weren't taking a swipe at her. They were taking a whole swipe at having a woman on the money. And then there's going to be different designs on the back of several of the bills. And wow, how about that? I mean, I think that is absolutely huge. The big, big, big bad change. Not until 2020, though. They don't do that. They're redesigning it. They're working on it. But that doesn't happen. What's interesting, there was a musical about Alexander Hamilton, and because there was some lobbying by the creator of that very popular musical, and there was a lot of suggestion that, wow, history is making a comeback because of this musical and, you know, the Broadway sensation Hamilton, they decided, yeah, we're keeping Founding Father Alexander Hamilton on board. We're not gonna replace him. We're just gonna make some other moves here. So pretty wild. You never know. I was surprised. But anyway, so that's one of the buzzes, I think, in the backyard is this bill. Besides what's happening on the campaign trail and the president's trip to the Middle East. In fact, the president's trip to the Middle East, we're going to talk about that more coming up on this show, a conversation with Dan Perkins, who never holds any punches, holds anything back. He's going to talk about that 28-page report from the 9/11 commission that we suddenly have no idea where it's at. I mean, we know where it's at, but whether or not it should be made public and be declassified, there's probably a fat chance of that happening. But one never knows. And then this trip by the president to the Middle East. And, I mean, listen, it was Saudi nationals on 9/11. I was in New York. I've talked about this before. It was very, very difficult to watch what was happening. I'm not boohooing me because I didn't lose any family members and whatnot. But I was taken down to ground zero as everything was unfolding after, you know, the day after. And it was just, you just can never really put it into words accurately what that felt like. And then the news that started to come out, the flight lessons but no landings, and they were Saudis and they were on visas, and that how that was all pieced together eventually, because it took some time to do that. And it's always felt like there's some hidden compartment in the middle of this, doesn't it? It does. It feels like there is a hidden, some kind of hidden compartment that we're missing. And what we're missing is those 28 pages. And if there is nothing in that 28 pages that implicates the Saudis at all, then let's hear what's in the 28 pages. Let's find out what that is. I want to know. Especially the more it's talked about, the more it's talked about, the more curious we get about it. Right? So let us know. I think we should know, unless it's a matter of national security. And of course, then you could talk about the Saudis and could say, well, maybe that is about national security. Maybe that is about trying to keep the peace. But what kind of peace is that? And we see what's happening in Saudi Arabia. And now for the first time, they're feeling the pinch, the average Joe, because Saudis don't work, and Dan Perkins talks about that. And now there are sort of some ghettos in Saudi Arabia, which we haven't seen. You know, it's not all Maseratis and high-end champagne, and part of that is because of what's happened in the oil situation. Right? And while all of this is happening, Iran is testing a space rocket with these whole long-range missile rumors that are going on. Oh, I'm telling you, Iran could care less. The biggest thing that and best thing that happened to Iran is the bad, bogus deal we cut with them. So we took our foot off their throat, and now they can do pretty much what they want, let's face it, and that's what's going to happen. I'd be remiss not to mention this. I thought this was a wild story, and I want to throw this in at the top to shake things up in a sense. I've mentioned before that I had the fortune to spend some time with the Border Patrol and see what that was like, but not so much in the Tijuana, San Diego area. Mine was more Juarez and Texas. But they discovered a cross-border tunnel that ran half a mile. Check this out, from a Tijuana house. It had a large elevator to a lot in San Diego that was advertised as a wooden pallet business. It was the 13th sophisticated secret passage found along the California border with Mexico since 2006. They found serious amounts of cocaine, and it went from a house. The elevator was big enough for 8 to 10 people. It was in the closet of a Tijuana house. The floors had mattresses covering all that kind of stuff up. And the tunnel zigzagged for 874 yards to the fenced commercial lot in San Diego, where the exit was covered by a large trash bin. No other tunnels have ended up in California were inside houses and warehouses. It was like a rabbit hole, pretty much. They don't know when the tunnel was completed. They don't know any of that kind of stuff. They just found it, and they found massive amounts of cocaine, 2,240 pounds of coke, 11,000 pounds of marijuana. That's big. They saw a trash bin forklifted onto a truck at the San Diego lot, and they followed it to a parking lot, and that's how all this stuff started to happen. So six people were arrested in San Diego on Friday on the drug and tunnel-related crimes. One U.S. citizen, two Cubans who were granted asylum, and three Mexicans who were legally entitled to be in the country. How about that? You know, these tunnels, it's amazing how sophisticated the tunnels are. And this, I saw pictures of it, unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable how sweet the tunnel was. I mean, they're just literally walking through an elevator with that many people they could fit on it. Crazy. All right, stay with us. We're going to talk to Dan Perkins and Dr. Joseph Castleberry as well. All coming up here on this edition of America Tonight.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believes so strongly in gold that he changed gold ownership forever by bringing back physical gold to the American public, allowing gold coins to be minted and sold to U.S. citizens just like you, starting in 1985. Gold ownership can help protect your financial future, especially when our national debt is spiraling out of control. Many smart Americans have kept their retirements from being wiped out during America's financial crisis thanks to physical gold coins. I strongly urge you to call the U.S. Money Reserve at 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a special gold guide with new, never-before-released information about gold from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. I'm Michael Reagan. Thank you.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Oh my goodness, and there is nothing but really, really sordid questions, I think, when it comes to the Saudis, when it comes to the Middle East in general. We talk about the quicksand that is. Dan Perkins is an Islamic historian, terrorist analyst, and a contributor to ReaganBaby.com, TheDailySurge.com, and TheHill.com, among many things that Dan does. And, of course, we know that he's the writer of The Brotherhood of the Red Nile Trilogy, which centers around, of course, Islamic nuclear terrorism. We've talked about his books. They're absolutely terrific. Dan, as always, thanks for popping on the show.
You're one of my favorite people to talk to.
Awesome. We love that. So the president and this deal setting foot on the sands of the Middle East, as I say, I like to just collectively talk about it that way. There are obviously a lot of inherent dangers here with him landing in Riyadh. Let's talk about them.
Well, I think that he's really, in the terms of his presidency, he is really at a point where he is really between the rock and the hard place.
Mm.
Because the last time he went to visit the old king, he bowed and kissed his ring. The speculation is, will he do the same thing for the new king? And he's going there under a tremendous amount of pressure in the United States for two things that apparently the Saudis don't want to have happen. One, they don't want the president to release the 28-page blank mm-hmm. report, part of the 9/11 commission, that may or may not implicate the Saudis in that. And number two, they're more concerned about this legislation in the Congress that would take the 1976 Terrorism Act and apply it to Saudi Arabia if, in fact, the 28 pages show that they were the royal family or the government was complicit in the attack on the World Trade Centers. And,
yep.
And the Pentagon.
Yeah, which is, you know, is huge news. And obviously in the last couple of weeks, that's been eye-popping about what about the 28 pages. What does your gut tell you? We know, and we've had people on the show to talk about this, that, okay, we can't say, but will it implicate the Saudis? And the answer from my sources is, of course, yes, it will implicate them. And to your point, this is why they're concerned about the release of the pages. So that was why that didn't happen in the first place, right?
Yeah, and I as I said before we came on, I just had a piece on the Clash Daily saying that really what this is blackmail on the part of the Saudis against the President of the United States. And, you know, they're talking about, the Saudis talking about puffing out their chests. Well, we'll sell $750 billion of assets. We'll show America. Well, you know, our wonderful president has taken our outstanding treasury debt to almost $20 trillion, so... best research I can find is that the entirety of OPEC, including Saudi Arabia, only has about $200 billion worth of treasury debt for all of OPEC. So whatever they're going to sell, first of all, they probably need the cash for liquidity purposes because their oil revenue is way down. It's down 20% less than it was last year. And so their budget's in serious trouble. They can't provide for their people. And so they're maybe using this as a cover to raise cash. But $750 billion, while it's a lot of money, in the relative scheme of things, it's not a lot of money, given the dispersity of cash, real estate, which is the bulk of the money, is not going to be sold overnight. I've been asking this question, Kate. Do the Saudis already know what's in the papers?
Yes, and it's interesting. That's the very first thing I thought when the story came out. You know, you talk about blackmail, intimidation, and you know, is this what the Saudis are doing? I think they know.
Right.
I think they know what's in there. I do. So then the question becomes, well, who gave them that information?
Well, if you understand that the 28 pages are down in the bowels of the U.S. Capitol under such security, that only people with certain congressmen and senators with certain classified clearances can go into the room. They can't take any recorders, newsprint, paper, nothing. All they can do is read it and put it back under supervision. So it must be something very, very serious to afford it that kind of security. But that, you're right, that doesn't mean, and it's my concern, is that the Saudis already know, and that's why they're trying to stop it. I think the other problem that's going on there is that the Saudis are really, truly quite angry at the president because of what he did with the Iran nuclear agreement. He's trying to shift the power from the Sunnis of Saudi Arabia to the Shiites, which are the actual minority of the Muslims, but control the Iran government and the country to a Shiite tribe. And one has to ask the question, why is he doing that? Why is he favoring the minority of the Muslim faith over the majority? Well, one could ask the question, maybe that's what he is.
Oh, and boy, would that not be, that would be the culmination, the tipping point of the outrage of so many people in this country, and some of it dismissed as, oh, that's just kooky and nutty and whatever. If there was a way to prove that point, that would be a lot of dominoes, Dan, I think, falling.
Yeah, but I also think, Kate, I also think that if you look at the situation, you really have to begin to examine, why did the president want to make this trip?
Yep.
He wasn't invited by the kingdom. He asked to come.
Mm.
And what is his objective? And I find it very suspicious. I think that he's going there to tell them, you know, as he said before, American imperialism has had you under control for such a long period of time. We're going to protect you in this situation. But the problem, indicate is that what are the political ramifications of the President of the United States working against the American people, especially those people who lost family members in the 9/11 attack. There's a precedent here, again, which most people aren't talking about, Kate, and that is there was a court case that was won in January of this year, where people were victims of terrorist attacks in Iraq were awarded $10.5 billion settlement for those claims because Iraq was declared to be a terrorist nation, and so the Saudis do not want to get tagged with this. So one really leads to the other, Kate. If there's an implication in the 28-page document that, in fact, that the Saudi government was complicit in the attack on the United States, then they have to be declared as a terrorist nation, which then kicks in the second part of this deal, which is the agreement. Can American family members sue the Saudi government? It's a big deal. But how does he deal with that with Mrs. Clinton running as the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party when she's been so adamant in total support of what the president's done across the board? How does she distance herself from that? One?
Yeah, difficult, because you're right, I don't know how you do that. And you know, while this is happening, I was just reading a story about this, you know, on the dollars and cents of it all, and for the first time in, what, a quarter of a century, Iran, if you look at what's happening with Saudi Arabia, and she said they're not happy about what happened in our dealings with Iran, but what's the deal with Saudi Arabia taking out $10 billion in bank loans?
Well, it's the problem. We talked about this last year. You talked to so many people, you probably don't remember the conversation. But I was saying that the shortage of revenue is putting tremendous pressure on the operating budget. If you're a Saudi citizen, you don't work. You get paid off of the oil revenue.
Yeah.
And so the shortage of revenue last year put the Saudi budget 25% in deficit. They lost 25% of the gross domestic product of the country of Saudi Arabia because of the decline in oil prices. Add, as I said a few moments ago, another 20% to that. So money is a very short commodity. The $10 billion is a five-year term loan, hoping that oil prices will go back up. But the International Monetary Fund says if oil prices stay in the $40 to $50 range, Russia will be physically bankrupt in 18 months and Saudi Arabia another 18 months behind that, because they will not have the resources to pay their bills. And, you know, it seems so strange, it's almost counterintuitive, that one of the largest oil reserve nations in the world is going to run out of money and going to go bankrupt in probably 3 years, but it could happen.
Yeah,
so they definitely need money.
Yeah, and yeah, I saw a piece, I don't know if it was Vice or somebody had done it, and they show that there's like poverty. There's these people that are buried behind the scenes that they don't want you to necessarily see because of what you just said, because of the fact that the Saudis don't work and they're poor. There are people that are poor and they haven't, they don't show that.
Think about this, the political ramifications of the President of the United States agreeing to the terms of the Iranian settlement, which gave them $150 billion in cash. Last year, when the Saudi government was short, this is very strange, but the revenue shortfall for the Saudi government last year was $150 billion, exactly the same amount of money that we gave to Iran when they settled the terms and the conditions. So Iran is $150 billion richer with cash. Saudi Arabia was $150 billion short in the hole last year and probably going to be close to $200 billion short this year. So they look at all the money that Iran got from the president. A lot of tension there between the Saudi leadership and the president.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, fascinating stuff. Dan Perkins, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on, Kate. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believed so strongly in gold that in 1985, he changed gold ownership forever. Today, our national debt is spiraling out of control, but gold coins could be the answer. Call 1-866-525-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com to get new, never-before-released information about gold. From the U.S. Money Reserve, call 1-866-525-GOLD.
Many scientific studies have linked inflammation in the human body to several common health challenges suffered by Americans every day.
This idea about essential fatty acids getting turned into inflammatory or non-inflammatory chemicals. If you're dealing with an inflammatory issue like arthritis, and many diseases and many immune conditions have inflammatory components. If you have any inflammatory issues, essential fatty acids are maybe the most important nutritional supplements you could use. If you have fat absorption problems, you're going to want to take your EFAs with digestive enzymes. With fatty meals can also help improve your ability to process and absorb these super, super mega important nutritional compounds, essential fatty acids.
To keep inflammation at a minimum in your body, do what Ben Fuchs does and order Ultimate EFAs and Ultimate EFA Plus from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Thrilled to have Dr. Joseph Castleberry on with us. He has such an incredible record. It would take us half the show to go through it, but he is the president of Northwest University. He has a Master's of Divinity, a degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, and a Doctor of Education degree in International Education Development from Columbia University. Hey, before we dive into the president and immigration, Dr. Castleberry, and welcome to the show, you spent some time, I know, in Ecuador, and I spent some time there. It's just terrible to see what's happening with the people in light of that earthquake, huh?
Oh, absolutely. This is a really deadly earthquake, and it's caused incredible damage. Of course, Ecuador has been reeling from more than a decade of left-wing government and a kind of testy relationship with the United States, and this is just more insult to injury.
Yeah, absolutely. So certainly our thoughts and prayers are with those people, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I spent some time in Guayaquil and Quito and some of those other areas, but boy, very, very rough stuff. Hey, the Supreme
Well, it's
Court,
one of the most beautiful countries on the planet.
Yes,
there's no place more interesting than Ecuador for a vacation, but it's a little shaky right now.
I agree. Absolutely. Galapagos Islands, if you go out off of there, too, incredible. So the Supreme Court obviously looking pretty divided with the oral arguments in this case that's challenging the president's executive actions on immigration. And what was really, I think, interesting is Justice Kennedy, who is not You know, he's usually the swing guy, the swing voter. He's lining up with Texas and the 25 other states, or so it seems, arguing that the president, quite frankly, overstepped his executive authority in granting the deferred deportation that we've talked about a lot here on America Tonight. I spent some time with the Border Patrol to nearly 5 million immigrants. So your thoughts on this? Are we seeing the president being really tested here on an important issue?
Well, absolutely so. I mean, there's no more important issue in the country than the status of almost 12 million people who are here without documentation and not here legally. And it's a huge problem. And I sympathize with both sides on this one. I am an immigration advocate. In my book, The New Pilgrims, How Immigrants Are Renewing America's Faith and Values, I make a strong case for why we ought to welcome these immigrants to the United States. At the same time, the law is clearly on the side of Texas on this. In my view, there's prosecutorial discretion has always, that's always part of the president's rights. He can decide which people he's going to prosecute and which ones he's not going to. But he can't change the laws, and he himself knows that. That was his posture for the early years of his presidency, and in 2011 he stated forthrightly to Univision that he did not have the power to change the law and couldn't stop deporting the immigrants. And then after his political capital was no longer on the line, he was reelected as president. He decided he would push his powers past what he knew was possible, and now he's getting hurt for it in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, obviously, and you know, the heart of the argument is the states are saying that they would be burdened having to spend more money on public services, health care, law enforcement, education, that kind of thing. And as you say, you're an immigration advocate, so how, just taking this issue in a sort of a different direction here, moving away from the legal for a second, how do we do that in this country? How do we embrace that? How do we help the people?
Well, we got to understand that we're helping them on one hand, but on the other hand, they're helping us. 70% of agricultural workers in the United States are immigrants, and the great majority of them are here without documentation because our laws don't allow for temporary workers to come and do agricultural jobs and then go home. So if they come to do the jobs, they have to stay. So we do need their labor, and we need their population because half of all economic growth is tied to population growth. And without immigrants in the United States, we would have a sub-replacement growth, population growth. We need immigrants to keep our population just slightly growing to help us keep our economy moving forward. And having people is a good thing, and immigrants certainly provide them.
Yeah, do you see, because this is like the hot potato that just keeps getting passed around, I've been talking about this since I've jumped on the air. We've seen through a couple of different presidencies that, in a way, while we'll hear all this heavy rhetoric and there'll be discussions about various aspects of the problems, nothing really seems to change that much, do you think?
Right, because there are vested interests to keep them like they are. On the political scale, both the Democrats and the Republicans have been using this as a political issue that helps them win their base. Democrats like this issue because they're able to look magnanimous, and of course there's good conscience on their part, and they think immigrants are good. Republicans are using it because they know that their base is very strongly working class folks and who feel threatened by immigration, and they're using that pretty cynically mostly to rally their voters. So that's not the only thing, but there are other interests as well. I mean, the business community is making a good living off illegal immigrants, and they want to keep it like it is. And the government, on the other hand, is, you know, there are 10 million false Social Security accounts that people are paying taxes into but will never pull any out of. That helps keep the Social Security system afloat. So there are all kinds of reasons to just leave it like it is. The problem is it's not fair, and it isn't American.
So do you see this? Do you see this hot potato, as we're talking about it? And I think I agree with you. I think it's the number one issue, a very important issue that we're obviously dealing with in the United States. This just goes to the next president, doesn't it?
Well, Well, absolutely so. And this it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because there's no question Hillary Clinton will push through a bill through the Congress to legalize the situation of these people. And that's what needs to happen. On the other hand, Donald Trump may do the same thing, because I don't believe he is sincere in his fiery rhetoric against immigrants.
Yeah. And as somebody who spent so much time, and you see the other side of this, I've talked about it on the show, having been in, you know, Central America and South America and watched some of what's happened to the people. You know, you spent time, with a missionary service in Latin America. You spent years in El Salvador. And what's it like for those people?
Oh, it's for kids on the street, it's terrible. You go down there and kids are you know, having to beg on the streets or sell things, and you know, child labor is the law of the land, essentially. The kids have to work like that to survive. There's trouble from the drug traffickers, there's gangs. You know, the gangs essentially rule the countryside in El Salvador, and those are gangs that we exported from the United States. You know, Salvadorans came here during the Civil War as refugees, so they moved to Los Angeles in huge numbers. They got co-opted into the gangs, and then we deported the gangs back to El Salvador, and now they've taken over huge parts of the country and have control of the legal political system. So it's a disaster, and a lot of children are wanting to get out of it, because some of their parents have come to the United States. They want to rejoin their parents, and they will, little children, even 5-6 years old, will cross Mexico and Guatemala and Mexico to come to the United States to find their parents. And it's a terrible situation. It's one that we need to really get serious about addressing.
Yeah, absolutely. But as you know, it's so politicized. You know, you're either right of right, left of left. You're in between, looking for a shelter somewhere. What happened to the days when, no matter what your belief was ideologically, you could still have that conversation? I don't know. Where did it go, Dr. Castleberry?
Well, it went away slowly. That's what happened. We started compromising on all kinds of values of that our country has held dear. And, when you compromise your values over and over and over again, pretty soon you wind up in a place you didn't expect to get. And it's never a good one. But we used to talk about the country being polarized between right and left. It's been drawn and quartered now.
Yeah,
about a quarter
true.
Of the population want Bernie Sanders, about a quarter of the population want Donald Trump, about a quarter want Hillary Clinton, and about a quarter want anybody but Donald Trump. And the country's, it's not just divided two ways, it's divided four ways, and we could go into more detail about why those divisions exist, but, we're going to have to find something to agree upon here pretty soon, or the country's going to be ripped apart.
Yeah, absolutely. Sad state of affairs, for sure. Dr. Castleberry, you were terrific. We'd love to have you back on again. Thanks for stopping by.
Anytime. Thanks, Kate.
Said you were a youth waker, a stormy little world shaker.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.